I've been around.
Everybody, welcome to the Fwagatha Comic Review podcast, brought to you by Florida Geek Scene. My name is Juan Navarro, and I run the Fwagatha podcast. Little intro to me: I'm a writer, artist, comic creator out of Miami, Florida. I have a company called Creature Entertainment, where we produce such books as Zombie Ears, Tommy, and Rez. Also, our newest book that's out on the stands right now on through Diamond and in your local comic book shops, Ravenous. And I'm good friends with the guys at FGS, and we've been palling around and talking about doing more reviews and doing stuff. And I said, hey, you know, I can always do a podcast and review on there. So one thing led to another, and we're here now. So we're going to get into it today. I'm going to review a couple of books that they were sent, mostly indies. And mostly, you know, stuff that's has a little bit of a curve to it. I'm surprised always at how good some of the indies are out there. I mean, I'm surprised that more people don't talk about certain books. All the time. There's always some book that I pick up and I go, this isn't bad, you know. I think a lot of people just, you know, like what they're familiar with. But these books kind of stand out on that. And at the same time are working on the same kind of themes that everybody else does, but it shows a different way of doing it. So we'll probably get into that right now. So one of the first books that I got in my pretty little hands is Image Comics and Meat Grind Studios 68 Jungle Jim Guts and Glory One-Shot. Story by Mark Kidwell, pen and inks by Jeff Zornow, and colors by Jay Fotos, and lettering by Tom Belong. Really cool comic. This is a Vietnam kind of war, kind of Vietnam War book. You know, it has a sense of, like, the kind of war stuff that you can pick up and everything else. It is gritty as shit, that's for sure. I will not lie about that. This is not for the faint of heart. I mean, if you're familiar with The Walking Dead or any, or Zombie Years, plug, you'll see that it kind of falls within those kind of, like, in the bloodier version of it. And this story kind of opens up on us. And, you know, what I like about this big time is that, it, like a lot of other stories, they just, you know, it just throws you into it. They don't, you know, really say too much. They don't, like, all of a sudden you're just caught in the action. And you're following this guy, Jungle Jim. And there's some really, like, at first I was thinking, oh, man, is this one of those crazy, like, kind of snuffy kind of books because of the insanity going around? But, no, at least a lot of the gore and everything that's going on in it is for a reason. It builds up the story. It makes you think what's going on and everything else. And it shows this guy, Jungle Jim, or Dave, or Brian, you don't know his name, because he's talking to himself, and it seems that he's kind of not all in one place, you know? It seems like he has his own internal monologue going on. This kind of uses that Deadpool mechanic of text spaces and stuff like that to show what he's thinking, and then differentiate that with what he's doing. So it's an interesting read in that sense because of that, because if you took those away, I'm looking at it now and I'm like, if I took those away, then it would be a Joe, you know, comic, you know, but now looking at this and, you know, seeing that coming in one and another. You don't know if it's him or his other personalities or these other brains in him that are talking or the things going around. And the story's good because let me tell you, it made me want to have more. It made me want to like wonder what the hell else is going on in this world. It was a very good intro for a one shot and stuff like that. I think it's a really good book to pick up. Good read. It is gore. It is a little not gory, like out of this world gory, but it's gonna have a lot of violence and blood and stuff like that. So it wouldn't be for the faint of heart. But there's some parts there that it's just kind of fun. They do use some of the vernacular that comes with the Vietnam War, which you kind of have to. There's sometimes that it seems a little insensitive. I mean, there's it's part of the it's I guess part of the genre. Say what you want. I mean, it could be, you can consider it very kind of like racist or something. I think it's just part of what it is. They use the word zips in there for some of the Viet Cong and Vietnamese that are in there. Obviously, that means zipper head, and that's a racial slur that they kind of came up with for them at the time. But it is goes hand in hand with the year that it's in and what's going on, but other than that, I mean, it's really good. I think it did really good for what it was. And I know this is like taking place. What's good is also is that for a one shot, it takes place kind of between the issues of the Guts and Glory tale that they have. So this happens between issues 3 and 4 of 68 Rule of War. So kind of detailing the events that lead up to Jim and Tremaine, the two characters in here, rescuing and getting together. So I mean, again, it's cool because it stands alone, but it kind of connects with everything else. So I think this is a great intro into this story. And if it's something that you guys are interested in, if you like war stories, if you like zombies, you kind of like mystery, you kind of want to get thrown into something, this is not a bad book to get into, man. I think it could be something, essentially really, really cool for everybody. Let me see. Right, it's a $3.99 one shot. There's three different covers for it. It's out of Image Comics and this studio. There's a Nate Jones cover, which is the regular one, and Nate Van Dyke, and then there's a Tricon exclusive cover. But the Nate Van Dyke one looks really good. I kind of like that variant. Again, I recommend it. I would give it a thumbs up. I would for me personally, it's a buy, but you have to be into zombies. If you're into zombies and stuff like that, and you're into that grimy craziness, cool. If you're a light reader or just somebody walking through, you might not be okay with it. But if you really dig the horror shit and you really like war comics, as a war comic, I would say it's a buy also. But definitely pick it up. Really good. 68, Jungle Jim, Guts and Glory. It's on your newsstands this week. Second on my rack of stuff I'm reviewing is Halogen by Arkea and Boom Studios. This is issues 1 of 4, so it's the beginning of a 4-issue series. It's created by Josh Tierney, Afu Chan, and Giannis Melonalagan. Okay, no, let's do that again. Giannis Milano-Giannis. Giannis Milano-Giannis. Written by Josh Tierney. Illustrated and lettered by Afu Chan and colors by Shelly Chen. The covers by Afu Chan, but there's a variant cover by Giannis, Milano Giannis. Yeah, Giannis is a really fucking badass artist. I love that guy's work. It's a really cool. So it's kind of interesting to see that he's doing a space story. Well, he's part of a space story that's happening here. If you're familiar with the other books that he's done, mostly the new series with Brandon Graham, like Prophet, there is a big similarity here. It seems like to be it's a space story set in the future, in a weird future. There's a dead god in space, and they find it, and it's this huge thing, and they start mining it, and there's a cult around it, and there's where that's just the beginning of the story. That was like the first page and a half. So that's like a lot of density. There's a lot of facts right there that you could pick up. But it's really cool illustrated. It has a loose kind of like almost animated style. I would say like the European animated style to it. And it's again in the vein of Giannis, or if you're familiar with Brandon Graham and Multiple Warheads or any of those books, it has that kind of feel to it, where it's loose, where backgrounds are really interesting. They put little things here and there, and it follows a couple of different characters on here. I have to admit, the story is really cool. I like it, but I mean, I'm kind of like, I get lost. I kind of don't know where all the characters are, who all the characters are. It's cool because, again, it kind of throws you in there. It doesn't kind of spoon feeds you any of the what's going on. But you're in this future bar, and you can see that there's various kind of like technologies at work and mutations and I guess aliens and stuff like that in this city. And it's called City Ship Q. And just, you know, and it's in the center of this universe, and there's, you know, they talk about the two different sides of this coin, which literally this station looks like a coin. There's an upper part and a lower part, and this is where all these people live, and the upper city is a flower. And then, you know, it's interesting read. Reading through it, it was kind of like, you know, sometimes some comics, and I appreciate that you got to power through and you just go along with it. It's not that it's bad, but you kind of not given enough to know what's going on. So you say, all right, let me just witness this. And I kind of like that idea of it. The character designs are interesting, but they're reminiscent of other things I've seen. Yeah, so like one of the characters that comes in, he kind of looks like the character from Cowboy Bebop. So that kind of gives it a, you know, you don't see too many differences in the character design from other things you've seen, but it's still interesting. Yeah, like I said, the pace of the story is pretty quick. It kind of throws you in a story. You suddenly see a robot. You suddenly see a lot of different things. I appreciate it. I'm interested in it. I kind of want to see more, but I'm not even too sure, man. I don't know. I don't even think I don't. I can't say I'm becoming a big fan as I go. There's too many familiarities here. There's too many things here that I don't. You know, the corporation trying to do this and the future and what's this about, and there's a mystery in the core of the center of it. And then it addresses some things interestingly with the technology and all that, but I feel like I've seen all this before. Like if I've seen Blade Runner, you know, if you've seen Blade Runner, you've seen anything, you've seen it all before. Now, the art really helps. Like the art really brings this about. Because even in the design of the robot and the characters that are on here, some of the stuff that I'm seeing, it's really interesting, and the storytelling really helps that. There are some moments where it kind of well, I don't know if it's anticlimactic, but where you think, oh, here comes the big fight, and now it's just like two people talking, and now a cord in their head, and that's it, and they walk away. So I don't know. I think there's a presumption here that people are gonna walk as, you know, go as far as they want in this story and do as much, and it leaves you in a pretty good twist. I mean, I do feel like picking up issue two. This is the kind of comic that if I probably would have bought it for the art and the storytelling and their overall. And again, the story is not weak, but there's just a lot of elements to it that I've seen before, so it hasn't surprised me. It hasn't turned anything and said, cool. Again, if you like something like what Brandon Graham did with Multiple Warheads, or what he's done with Giannis with Prophet, I think you probably dig this book. It's more down to earth. It's not as crazy, spacey, heavy metal style as those stories were. So this one's more down to earth. If you're in that kind of feel, like if you've done you know, Brian K. Vaughan's new book, like Private Dick or Private Detective. Or, you know, if you're into Blade Runner kind of, this could have it too, with like an anime kind of flavor. So, I mean, either or, this could work for you. But it's a good book. I think this is the type of book that I would have bought, enjoyed it pretty much, and then would have gone back to the next month to go pick up the second issue and read the second issue before I bought it. Like, read two or three pages before I would have bought it. Just to see if they were going anywhere with the story that might be different. But overall, I really dig it. I mean, I dig it. I think it's really cool. There's a nice variant by Milo by Giannis on here. I'm not even gonna pretend to say that last name. Again, I know I'm probably giving an impression of not being terribly impressed. I'm looking at it right now. It's really well done. It's really well done, and the writing's not bad. The dialogue's not too bad either. The characters talking, you do want to kind of know what they're saying, like you sit there. But I think what even the genius that Brandon Graham did and Giannis did when they were doing Prophet is if they threw you a curveball, they tell you about some kind of knife or a hollow suit or something like that. They would sneak in a diagram and tell you what that does, or they would do something on the side. They would kind of go, okay, this does this, hint, hint, you know, and you'd be cool and you'd go on. I don't see that here. This one, I guess they're saying, you know what, go with it, and it's still fun. It's still cool to watch, but I can't. I don't know. I can't wrap my brain's totally around it. So, if you're into again, what Prophet did and everything else, I would definitely say pick up this book. It's in that vein. It has that kind of work in it. The artwork's great. Afu Chan really hit it out of the park. I think the work is great. The cover looks awesome. A lot of the interiors look great. I think the storytelling's solid, and I think the dialogue is solid. But I feel like the story itself, I've seen this before, so now I'm just saying, okay, where are you going to take me? What are you doing? So I would definitely put this as like a type of maybe, I guess. If you're in, again, if you're into Giannis's stuff or you know that kind of stuff, then it's a definite buy. I think this could be a series that, as a graphic novel, would be kick ass. I think it would be a great read, something that you can sit down and really go through in an afternoon and walk away with, you know. So I would say, you know, definitely at least flip through it in the stores. Go to your local stores, see if they have it. Flip through it and maybe pick it up. And you know, let's see what happens from here. Let me see if I get to see issue two, and then I'll come back and tell you guys. Talk to you guys about some other stuff I'm reading, see what you guys think and everything. I recently picked up and was able to read through the latest Aquaman. I know we're going into Convergence and everything, and shit's about to hit the fan with DC Comics, and everything is going to be revamped and redone and again and again and again, and circle jerk of life that we're doing here. But I thought it was valid to go and, you know, look through all these old books and before they're invalid again. And see what it, you know, I could pick up of it. And I read the Aquaman run, and pretty much from issue 0 all the way to issue 34, October 2014, just last year. And I read through the whole thing. Geoff Johns started in the beginning, I believe, as one of the writers, and then later on, or did he? Was he the writer through the whole series, or when did he leave the series? I thought that was a Jeff Parker, I guess, took over after that. I have to admit, man, it's one of those things that's weird. It's like Aquaman's one of those characters that you kind of want to root for, and you want them to develop them, and you want to do that. And I think there needs to be somebody that comes in. And I may be wrong. Maybe you guys out there, and you guys tell me there's an Aquaman run out there by somebody that's kick ass. I forget. Didn't somebody like Mark Waid or Peter David or somebody do a really good run at one time? You guys tell me. I read this, and you know, it's one of those characters I want to root for. I want to get. And in the beginning, Geoff Johns was hitting it out of the park. I have to admit, issue one was fun. It was cool. I got interested. It did turn into, again, that big old turd of the suffering fucking hero. And I can't stand that, man. Oh, dude, it's just. Dude, how long can you do that? After a while, you're going to be like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to listen to this no more. Stop, please. Because it's okay, cool. You're suffering. Yes, there's a lot of problems in the world. You can, like, breathe underwater. You can tell fish what to do. You're the king of Atlantis. You're like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many millions of billions of things that you can do. Why wouldn't you? You know, like, why are you really that bad? You know? There should be some responsibility and there should be other stuff for the character, but come on, you know, I mean, let's not suck all the fun out of it. And that's the thing with Aquaman. It doesn't ever really, it starts off a little fun and there's some interest in it and there's a human story to it, and then it kind of loses it, and then it turns into this battle. And after a while, like, you're trying to champion a cause in the book, and all you make me do is want to hate. I hate your cause. Because after a while, I'm like, you know what? Screw the Atlanteans. I mean, they're supposed to be so advanced, so great. They keep messing up. They don't understand. Oh, the surface world. You know? And the other side of it, too, if I would make the argument of that they could have done more into it. And this is, I think, the same as Animal Man, which I probably will talk to you guys about with the next podcast. I just read the whole run of Animal Man. I would say the same thing in the sense that, you know, if you're going to do a character that's environmental, you got to do a full-on environmental character. If you want to have a character like Swamp Thing, Animal Man, Aquaman, being these environmental characters, which would be cool if that was a corner of the DC universe and discussing and talking about all those processes, it would be interesting. But I think there was like this was a little lukewarm for Aquaman in a lot of instances. A lot of times there were certain things that they were addressing, like, oh, how they were polluting the oceans and this and this and that. We should, you know, cull them and kill them. This happens later on when this evil was escaped. And even the evil is like, I should be rewarded for doing this because I'm actually trying to help save the planet. And I was like, that's not a bad point. Not saying that it's right, but that's something that he has to contend with if he's going to go on with this whole idea of defending the oceans. So I don't doubt now with the reformatting, just like Marvel is doing, just like DC is doing, they have to do this because of the movies. And I'm glad for it because it's going to, you know, I think there is a crazy kind of distillation that happens if you see the movie and you come into your comic book shop because you want to see more and it's a different character or a different story or a different. I think that will jar people kind of weird. I know for fanboys that's par for the course and we're used to it, man. But I think for the common readers, remember, this is a business, guys. We got to be like selling this crap, you know? So I think it's an interesting thing. So I don't know, maybe with this new take on Aquaman. And with this actor that's portraying him now, all tough and everything, you know, I think they could really, you know, probably maybe stem into that. It would be interesting to see someone do that and say, okay, we're going to make this environmental character. And, it would, you know, there were seeds of that everywhere. I remember when Ultimates came out, you know, that was what they did with Thor, you know, this kind of like being that's above it all that can judge and can look over. I think if Aquaman followed that formula, it would be a little bit interesting. I know that there was other shit that they were doing, and I've been reading the Aquaman and the Others and the Future End and everything else, and it's just so, I don't know, man. It's just inadequate. It really didn't do anything for me. I was just kind of like, meh, I'm not going to really get into this kind of thing. So it's a give and take. So, I mean, it was an interesting Aquaman run. I wonder if there's something better out there, you know? I would love to see Aquaman in Miami. He should be based out of Miami. That would be cool. But overall, yeah, you know, it was a good read. I mean, it's 34, well, more. I think about 40 comics between Aquaman and the Others, the annuals and everything else. About 40 comics that I read on it. And it wasn't a bad ride. I can't say I hate it. I kind of like that some of the mythos is still there. Seeing Ocean Master, I have to say Black Manta was way more interesting to me now. Black Manta's a better villain than it was before. I mean, I know before he was always like just this kind of pirate guy that stole stuff and blah, 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 and I hate Aquaman. But now it's kind of cool. It's kind of hilarious, you know? I just think it's funny because it's like they call it the Black Manta. And I'm like, is it he's a black guy or because he's all in black? I mean, it would be funny if like another guy and he's like, oh, that's Manta. And it's just a white guy. It's like, oh, what the hell, man? Like, it would be fun. Then there's a Mexican Manta. And they'll be like, oh, it's brown Manta. So the series overall was interesting. It opened my eyes a little bit wider to Aquaman. But in the end, it wasn't as exciting. Even I was reading some of the Animal Man issues and everything else. Made me care for Animal Man a little bit more. There is a definite theme that I'm seeing in DC books. They're fucking downers. They're really downers. There's not as many, I don't know, brighter messages of hope, I guess. I guess they're more serious. Yeah, it's not that they don't have the jokes, but it's very serious overall compared to any other comic that you might read. So, That's one thing I'm starting to get from reading all these back issues of DC and stuff like that. But Aquaman was all right. Maybe you guys know a better series or a better thing. Maybe you guys right now are screaming at your iPhones or at this recording and going, "What the hell, man? Why don't you read this run?" Let me know. We'll probably discuss it on here if there's a better run. Maybe Aquaman can redeem himself some other way and stop being the lame guy, right? Oh well.
We are building a religion. We are building it bigger. We are widening the corridors and adding more lanes. We are building a religion, a limited edition. We are now accepting callers for these pendant keychains. To resist it is useless.
I'm probably going to be in the future reviewing more Marvel stuff because that's the one thing I kind of like overall. And I don't know, this book I almost feel like doesn't need review because everybody's going to either pick it up, buy it, or whatever because it is a Star Wars book. But I wanted to talk about it just because it was a little surprising for me. I really dug it. Star Wars Princess Leia, Issue 1, by Mark Waid, Terry Dodson, Rachel Dodson on inks, and Jordi Belair on colorist. It was good. I actually enjoyed it. Of all the Star Wars books, I have to admit, I think they're pretty decent. They're pretty good for what they are. It's funny that some people are like, "Well, no, it's not the thing." I don't know if they thought that it was going to be a movie or something like that. And yes, the revelations and stuff in it might not be the same as anything else. But this overall was really interesting. It brought more layers to the Princess Leia character. I kind of, I it's funny because I don't think it's necessarily one of these good things about a character. I find her now even more self-serving in a certain way and what she wants to do for the rebellion and everything. But I really did. Well, the artwork was gorgeous. It's Terry Dodson. Drawing women is just his thing, man. He just draws beautiful, fierce women with like a petiteness, but he really brought it when it came to the vehicles and everything that was being drawn here and everything else. I mean, capturing them and the type of ship. I didn't like the design of the ships that she uses at the end of the series because it seems out of whack from all the other ships. It seems like an Avengers ship or a Marvel ship or a S.H.I.E.L.D. spaceship than a Star Wars ship. That was a one glaring thing about it. When I saw it, I was like, I feel like I'm looking at a Quinjet. It's not, but the characters are great, and introduces these new characters that are on here. the story itself makes it interesting. I find her a little, instead of being the rebel, the one that's on top of it, I find her kind of self-centered and stupid about what she's doing, but it wouldn't be Princess Leia if it wasn't, right? Overall, I think it's a pretty good thing. I'm kind of excited about it. Of all the ones, this is the one that I want to pick up the next issue, which is already out right now because I'm behind. I have to go pick up more books. But I think of all the Star Wars series, that's the one I'm like most interested in right now. The artwork, again, fabulous. The storytelling's pretty solid. I thought everything else that was going on is good and what they were putting. The only thing I would say is the ship design really, I'm seeing another panel now and I'm like, I'm looking at the design of it and it really bugs me, man. It looks like a Quinjet from like Avengers. I just, and it irks me because, Star Wars has a certain feel. They're the ones who kind of made the terminology used future. They made that it was cool that the Millennium Falcon is a spaceship from the future, but it's old. You know what I'm saying? That makes it cool. I don't see that here. I see like shiny, rounded off thing that blah, blah, blah. It seems like, I don't know. It almost seems like an afterthought too. Or maybe Dodson had trouble drawing it, because the TIE, the X-Wings look freaking great and everything else looks great too. So I don't understand, So again, I will tell you guys, pick up you're going to pick it up anyway. Everybody's collecting the stupid covers and everything else is going on. But if you manage to crack it open and want to read it, the Star Wars Princess Leia, definitely a thumbs up. Pick it up for when you guys get a chance. All right, folks, that's our show. Kind of ran through everything there, tried to pick up everything I could, you know, to show you guys, fill up the show, hopefully convince you guys to go buy some comics or not buy certain comics, who knows. But at least, you know, you're more informed, and an informed buyer is a better buyer, an informed fan is a better fan. As always, you can catch me online. You can go to my website, fwacata.com. I'm going to be trying to do these shows every Thursday. I'm still trying to figure out what our schedule is going to be like. And I do the regular Fwacata show on Tuesdays. So you can catch me on there. You can catch me online on Twitter at FWACATA. I'm always posting about what's going on in comics and what's going on here. Plus with a little opinion on top of that. And if you guys want to like call in or you have any comments or anything like that, feel free to call in at 1-806-414-5826. That's 1-806-414-JUAN, J-U-A-N. Haha, see what I did there? Call in, let me know what you guys think, you know, if there's anything you guys want to review. If you're an indie publisher that's out there, or any kind of publisher, really, what the hell? You know, please feel free to, like, hit me up. You can hit me up at my email, secretmediagroup, all one word, at gmail.com. And just hit me up on my email and let me know what you guys think. And if you have anything you want to send to me, let me know. I'll take a look at it. You know, send me a PDF or something like that. Hopefully we'll be doing more of these review shows, and it's an easier format than writing, you know, and putting it all down. I think more dynamic and everything else. And let me, you know, if you, you know what will be cool? If you find one of my reviews and it helped you or it didn't help you, call in. Let me know. Tell me, hey, Juan, you messed up. This book sucks. Or, hey, Juan, this book doesn't have enough praise. Or, hey, Juan, here's some money. I don't know. Follow us on there and follow us on the Twitter and the podcast and here at Florida Geek Scene. Tell these guys that, you know, tell them, you know, you like this show if you dug the show. If you don't like the show, don't tell them anything. They'll get rid of me. Let me know what's up, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Laters.
Take me now, baby, here as I am. Pull me close, try and understand. Desire is a hunger, it's the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed. The telephone, love is an angel, the scars that